This is Side 1 of For the Record program number 790, titled, Now, About That Malaysian Airliner. This program is being recorded on May 1st of 2014. Happy May Day. Actually, that is sort of appropriate, the distress call for an airplane that is crashing or has crashed and that is still in communication is May Day. May Day. The derivation of that actually is sort of interesting. It is a corruption of the French May Day. May Day, M apostrophe A-I-D-E-Z, comma, M apostrophe A-I-D-E-Z. It's French for help me, or help, help. Much of the early long-distance aviation was either across the Atlantic, as Charles Lindbergh did, or across the English Channel between the United Kingdom and France. And so early on, the French designation for help, help became sort of standard. Anyway, when Malaysian Airlines Flight 370 disappeared without a trace, although actually there were traces, it was traced on radar, there was no May Day given by the pilot or anybody else. And the media have been full of speculation about what happened, what didn't happen, what could have happened. A lot of it has been, frankly, fresh fertilizer, discussion of black holes or UFOs or space aliens from Uranus or whatever. And that actually is a fundamental distraction. What we're going to be talking about is what I think happened, at least up to a point, because when one gets past the Ministry of Truth, and we're going to be examining links between the milieu of the ill-fated Malaysian Airlines Flight 370 and the Muslim Brotherhood. And beyond that, we're going to take a look at evidentiary tributaries running in the direction of elements of Western intelligence, the Republican Party, the underground Reich. We also are going to be taking what I want to stress very heavily is an altogether speculative look at a strange incident in which a teenage Somali boy was able to stash himself in the wheel well of an airplane that took off from San Jose Airport and landed in Maui, Hawaii. He supposedly wanted to visit he was homesick for his mother, who is in a refugee camp in Ethiopia and whom he hadn't seen I think it's since he was about 2 years old, which may well be, and I don't want to be misunderstood as casting aspersions on this young fellow. However, the PR for this young fellow and for his family has been handled by the Council on American-Islamic Relations, which has very, very strong links with the Muslim Brotherhood. I would also note that the Santa Clara, California mosque at which his family worships also had an imam with strong links to the Muslim Brotherhood milieu, and beyond that, the milieu of Anwar al-Awlaki, who was an al-Qaeda-linked imam who was killed by a drone strike in Yemen, and also to the milieu of the Charnia brothers and the Boston Marathon bombing. And through that, that is to say, the Boston Marathon bombing to elements that appear to be actively Western intelligence elements, CIA or some other off-the-shelf intelligence operation like the Safari Club that are pursuing jihadists. They're using jihadist elements as proxy warriors against Russia in the Caucasus. And so we're going to be taking a look at some of the elements that crop up in connection with the disappearance of Malaysian Air Flight 770. And we're going to be connecting the dots and following the evidentiary tributaries not only to the Muslim Brotherhood, but to very powerful elements of corporate power and the Republican Party. We also will be taking a look at links between the milieu that appears to be involved with the disappearance of Malaysian Air Flight 370 and apparent jihadi proxy wars being pursued against China and again against Russia. Also looming large in the background, very large in the background, are the Operation Green Quest raids of March 20th of 2002, which, if the media had properly pursued that and if people had been more vigilant, would have revealed some very substantive links between the Bush administration and the Republican Party and some of its mainstream operatives like Grover Norquist and Karl Rove, and the milieu involved, the networks involved in funding, among other organizations, Al-Qaeda. So that is what we're going to be looking at. And again, I don't think that the disappearance of that airliner is nearly as mysterious as we have been led to believe. And in fact, I think it is the very profound corporate connections, including people in high places in the Republican Party, and beyond that, some of the covert operations connections that loom in the background of this milieu, and background perhaps is improper. I suspect that is why the Ministry of Truth is being so relatively mum about what is really going on here. Now, the plane, the Malaysian Air Flight 370, this, quote, mysterious, unquote, flight that just seems to have disappeared, was being piloted by a guy named Zahari Ahmed Shah, first name, capital Z as in zebra, A-H-A-R-I-E, middle name, capital A-H-M-A-D, and last name, capital S-H-A-H. Now, Ahmed Shah, or Zahari Ahmed Shah, was a committed political follower of a guy named Anwar Ibrahim. Now, Anwar Ibrahim is being represented in our media as something of a latter-day saint. Again, no pun intended. In fact, Anwar Ibrahim is not only a key Malaysian member of the Muslim Brotherhood, he also was one of the founders of the International Institute for Islamic Thought. That was one of the institutions raided in the Operation Green Quest raids of March 20th of 2002. A fellow named Talat Othman, who was a director of George W. Bush's Harkin Energy and who gave a Muslim benediction to the Republican Party and was the operating director of the Islamic Free Market Institute, founded by Grover Norquist with the assistance of Karl Rove. Talat Othman interceded directly with then-Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill, and most of the raids were conducted under the auspices of Treasury, although FBI was also involved. That helped to sidetracked the investigation. Paul O'Neill was fired summarily, or perhaps he quote, resigned, unquote, to spend more time with his family. But anyway, he exited some months after that, and the investigation has been sidetracked. I would note that there are evidentiary tributaries running between the milieu of Operation Green Quest and the Boston Marathon bombing, as we looked at in For the Record 773. The aforementioned Talat Othman had been installed as a director of Harkin Energy because he was a protege of Gait Faron of the BCCI, and the badly attenuated investigation of the BCCI, the Bank of Credit and Commerce International, was headed up by then U.S. Attorney Robert Mueller, who later became head of the FBI. And For the Record 310, I opined that Mueller was being made head of the FBI to deliver the Bureau, in effect, to see to it that the BCCI links never came unraveled, because if that investigation unravels, it reveals links between the milieu of Osama bin Laden and the milieu of George W. Bush. The Operation Green Quest raids and the people involved with it were in turn very closely linked with the Bank Al-Taqwa, founded by former Nazi intelligence operatives and or underground Reich operatives like Yosef Nada and Ahmed Huber and a fellow named François Genoux, whom we have looked at great length in the past. Now, New York Times of March 20th of 2014, the New York Times of March 21st of 2014, has an article by Robert Mackey, Malaysian opposition leader calls speculation about pilot of missing jet, quote, absurd, unquote. Reads in part, Malaysia's opposition leader Anwar Ibrahim, I-B-R-A-H-I-M, dismissed speculation that the pilot of the missing Malaysia Airlines jet, a supporter of his movement for democratic change, might have hijacked the plane for political reasons in an interview with Britain's Channel 4 News on Friday. As The Lead, capital T-H-E, capital L-E-D-E, a blog explained on Wednesday, the pilot, Captain Zahari Ahmed Shah, was reportedly described by an unnamed government official as a, quote, fanatical, unquote, supporter of Mr. Ibrahim, a remark that was widely misinterpreted by journalists and bloggers. I would note the New York Times here is editorializing in the text of a news story later on in this. Mr. Ibrahim described suggestions that the pilot may have done something because of his political views as, quote, absurd, unquote. Well, it's not absurd at all, as we are going to see. Now, one of the things that has focused attention on the pilot per se is the fact that the plane's dramatic change in course appears to have involved the reprogramming of flight computers, which, in the opinion of experts, not only required someone who was very experienced at aviation, but also someone who was actually in the cockpit at the time. Among the stories going into that, another New York Times story of March 20th of 2014, Malaysia asks FBI for help in plane case by Chris Buckley and Michael Schmidt. And this reads in part as follows. As the possible break in what had been a fruitless search for the plane was being pursued, the Malaysian authorities were seeking help from the FBI to help retrieve deleted computer data from a homemade flight simulator belonging to the captain of a Malaysia Airlines jet that vanished 11 days ago. Their first request for high-level American assistance in solving the mystery of the missing plane. Skipping down. Investigators have said the plane's extraordinary diversion from its intended course was probably carried out by someone who had aviation experience. The Malaysian police, who found that Mr. Zahari had built a flight simulator at his home, said Wednesday that some data had been erased from the simulator on February 3rd, more than a month before the ill-fated flight. Evidence suggests that whoever diverted the plane knew how to disable its communication systems and program course changes, and the data recorded in the pilot's flight simulator may shed light on whether he was involved. And again, that has to have been done from inside of the cockpit. Another New York Times story, this from March 19th of 2014. Also by Chris Buckley and Keith Bradsher, capital B-R-A-D-S-H-E-R, China rules out terror ties among citizens on jet. And this reads in part as follows. American officials said on Monday that the sharp turn to the west that took the plane from its planned northeastward flight plan was achieved using a computer system on the plane, and that the turn was most likely programmed into it by someone in the cockpit who was knowledgeable about airplane systems. And this is why people are concerned about the pilot, okay? I think it's pretty open and shut. It certainly is not absurd, unquote, as Anwar Ibrahim is suggesting. A far more incisive analysis of this was provided by Robert Spencer in his Jihad Watch blog spot of March 17th of 2014. Jihad Watch is a very useful source. Robert Spencer is very conservative. However, he is among those conservatives who genuinely monitors jihadist activity, and it was a Jihad Watch blog article by Julia Gorin, that's him, G-O-R-I-N, that discussed the ongoing jihadist effort supported by the U.S. against Russia in the Caucasus. And in my opinion, the Boston Marathon bombing was blowback from that. And we're going to talk more about that later. Now, note who Anwar Ibrahim is. And again, the pilot is a very close and dedicated supporter of his. This again by Robert Spencer, Jihad Watch, March 17th of 2014. Slate whitewashes Muslim Brotherhood ties of Malaysian Paul, quote, fanatically, unquote, supported by pilot of missing plane. Here is reality, quote, Anwar Ibrahim's ties to the Muslim Brotherhood run deep. Ibrahim helped to establish the International Institute for Islamic Thought, or IIIT, a Muslim Brotherhood front group in the U.S. IIIT has come under fire for their connections with terrorist organizations. In 2002, Anwar Ibrahim's IIIT was included in a lawsuit by victims of 9/11 seeking damages from organizations linked to, quote, rendering material support to radical Islamism, unquote. And I would note that the judge recently ruled in favor of continuing a lawsuit by victims and relatives of 9/11. That may have something to do with why we're seeing the obvious spinning and cover-up of these connections, because if this begins to unravel, it goes not only in the direction of George W. Bush, but other powerful Republican elements, elements of the intelligence community, and indeed some of the corridors, some of the most important corridors of corporate power. Beginning again this paragraph, in 2002, Anwar Ibrahim's IIIT was included in a lawsuit by victims of 9/11 seeking damages from organizations linked to, quote, rendering material support to radical Islamism. In 2003, U.S. government prosecutors, quote, submitted court documents detailing financial support from the IIIT for convicted Palestinian Islamic Jihad fundraiser Sami al-Arian. It was the investigation into Sami al-Arian that resulted in the Operation Green Quest raids, which revealed links between Al-Qaeda and the Bank al-Taqwa, basically a Muslim Brotherhood slash underground Reich institution, and the Republican Party and George W. Bush's milieu, Grover Norquist and Karl Rove in particular. Continuing, U.S. government prosecutors also found that Taha Jaber al-Alwani, A-L-W-A-N-I, the president of IIIT, had once stated via a fatwa that, quote, jihad is the only way to liberate Palestine, unquote. A U.S. customs official said that the government is also looking into the possibility that IIIT was involved in, quote, terrorism-related money laundering activities, unquote. That, of course, is Operation Green Quest. Had that been properly investigated, we would have Karl Rove and Grover Norquist, among others, particularly Norquist, down in the holding cell in Guantanamo. An article from the Wikipedia entry on International Institute of Islamic Thought. Tariq, T-A-R-I-K, Hamdi, H-A-M-D-I, came to the U.S. and applied for citizenship, providing false information. Hamdi worked for Sami al-Arian, parenthetically, the investigation into whose activities led to Operation Green Quest, who confessed to providing assistance to the Palestinian Islamic Jihad and later worked for IIIT. By the way, Sami al-Arian was found in contempt because he refused to give testimony or be deposed about IIIT. He said he feared for his life. Well, if this was the innocent organization it's supposed to be, why do you suppose al-Arian feared for his life? And we have spoken about that in past programs. Continuing with Wikipedia.com's entry on the IIIT. In May of 1998, ABC News, in pursuit of an interview with bin Laden, had communicated with Mohammed Atef, A-T-E-F, and were directed to Tariq Hamdi, H-A-M-D-I, as a person who could connect them to Osama bin Laden. ABC connected with Toby Condi at his place of employment at the IIIT. ABC was able to get the interview. Condi was able to deliver a satellite phone battery pack that, according to federal agents, was used three months later in the bombing of American embassies in Kenya and Tanzania. It took until 2005 for Tariq A. Condi, who was employed as a publisher at IIIT, to be charged in the federal affidavit of having been the, quote, American contact, unquote, for one of Osama bin Laden's front organizations, unquote. And more about the Ahmed Shah and Anwar Ibrahim link, and then we're going to come back to more concerning Grover Norquist and the links between Grover Norquist and the milieu of Operation Green Quest. This is from the Daily Mail in the UK. Democracy is dead, unquote. Fanatical missing airliner pilot pictured wearing political slogan T-shirt as by Simon Perry, P-A-R-R-Y, Amanda Perry, and Willis Robinson from the Daily Mail of March 16th of 2014. Now note that Zahari Ahmed Shah was a supporter of Anwar Ibrahim, and that just hours before the plane vanished, Anwar Ibrahim had been convicted of a sodomy charge. Captain Zahari Ahmed Shah, a father of three, was said to be a fanatical, unquote, supporter of the country's opposition leader Anwar Ibrahim, jailed for homosexuality just hours before the jet disappeared. It has also been revealed that the pilot's wife and three children moved out of the family home the day before the plane went missing. Captain Shah was an, a, quote, obsessive, unquote, supporter of Ibrahim. And hours before the doomed flight left Kuala Lumpur, it is understood that the 53-year-old Shah attended a controversial trial in which Anwar Ibrahim was jailed for 5 years. Skipping down, police sources have confirmed that Shah was a vocal political activist and fear that the court decision left him profoundly upset. It was against this background that 7 hours later, he took control of a Boeing 777-200 bound for Beijing and carrying 238 passengers and crew. Zahari's co-workers have told investigators that the veteran pilot was a social activist who was a vocal and fervent supporter of Ibrahim. Colleagues made it clear to us that he was someone who held strong political beliefs and was strident in his support for Anwar Ibrahim, another investigation source said. We were told by one colleague that he was obsessed with politics, unquote. In their interviews, colleagues said Zahari told them he planned to attend the court case involving Anwar Ibrahim on March 7th, just hours before the Beijing flight, but investigators had not yet been able to confirm if he was among the crowd of Anwar's supporters at court. Skipping down. Evidence of the way the plane's transponder and communication systems were disabled and the way the plane was expertly flown over the Indian Ocean, apparently using navigational waypoints that meant only a skilled aviator could have been at the plane's controls during the flight. Investigators were also baffled by why, if hijackers took over the plane, there was no mayday call or signal from the two pilots to say that the cockpit had been breached. So again, just hours before the plane disappears, Anwar Ibrahim is convicted on a sodomy charge. Supporters have claimed those were trumped-up charges. Remains to be seen. Do bear in mind that Malaysia is a Muslim country. So again, Muslim culture in general and the Muslim Brotherhood in particular are not at all tolerant of gays and gay lifestyles. An interesting thing, too, about Anwar Ibrahim is that he was apparently a client of Grover Norquist. And when the Janus Merit Strategies consulting firm that was the lobbying firm founded by Grover Norquist was queried about its relationship with Anwar Ibrahim and the IIIT, Grover Norquist refused to release the firm's tax records for that period. I would also note that Jamal al-Barzinji, who is described by Norquist's partner in the firm, David Safavian, S-A-F-A-V-I-A-N, Jamal al-Barzinji, the Anwar Ibrahim associate who is involved with Janus Merit Strategies and Grover Norquist, is a close associate of the Bank Altaqua and apparently worked for a Bank Altaqua subsidiary. Again, from Wikipedia, its entry on Janus Merit Strategies, that's capital J-A-N-U-S hyphen, capital M-E-R-R-I-T-T, Strategies, excerpting. Janus Merit Strategies was a lobbying firm founded in 1997 by conservative activist Grover Norquist and then-lawyer David Safavian, who later became better known as the Chief of Staff in the General Services Administration and for his conviction in the Jack Abramoff Reed Indian lobbying scandal, skipping down. On December 17th, 2001, 11 months after Safavian's departure, Janus resubmitted its disclosure forms. This time, the name of convicted terrorist Abdurrahman Alamoudi had been replaced by the name of Dr. Jamal al-Barzinji, who was also notable as a vice president of the International Institute of Islamic Thought, or IIIT. Grover Norquist has refused to release tax records of the firm for the period during which he and Safavian owned the company. Safavian told the Senate that al-Barzinji, not Alamoudi, was his client. Quote, al-Barzinji, he said, should have been listed as the client retaining the firm for work related to Malaysian political prisoner Anwar Ibrahim, unquote, referring to the deposed Prime Minister of Malaysia, who was also a co-founder of the IIIT. And so again, when we begin to take a look at the political milieu of which the plane's pilot was a part of, to which the plane's pilot belonged, we find some very familiar elements and familiar names. And indeed, when one begins to connect the dots, we begin coming right back to the Operation Green Quest raids of March 20th, 2002, and some very powerful elements and individuals, including Grover Norquist. Bear in mind that the fellow who interceded directly with Paul O'Neill on September 4, 2002, 2 weeks after the Operation Green Quest raids, was Talat Othman, a director of Harkin Energy, Bush's oil firm, one of them anyway, and he also was the operational director of Grover Norquist's Islamic Institute. And Norquist Janus Merit Strategies was lobbying on behalf of Anwar Ibrahim, co-founder of the IIIT, apparently involved with terrorist-related activities, and one of the focal points of the Operation Green Quest raids of March 20th of 2002. We're going to take a look at some more of the political links involved in this concatenation in Side 2, because this concludes Side 1 of For the Record program number 790. Now, about that Malaysian airliner, this is being recorded on May 1st of 2014. I'm Dave Emery. Ciao.